the more focused you are in a vertical market, the more of an expert that you become as a recruiter. So you're talking to the same customer group all the time. You start developing really good relationships with your whole customer group, but also you're playing in that same candidate sandbox and funnel area there where you really start to get to know like where all the good talents and purple unicorns are hiding. And so, you know, I would hear people at conventions and stuff, oh yeah, if you want to get a job at J&J, talk to Chris Ross. He's got all the sales roles in the Northeast.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. Today I have a fun conversation with Chris Ross. Chris is the head of TA for International Paper Packaging Solutions Division. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. Let's jump in and start out a little bit with just your background, how you got started in TA, maybe some roles that you held leading up to your current role at International Paper.
Yeah, sure. I don't think any one of us gets into recruiting by choice. I haven't seen any college majors yet. That's talent acquisition. Maybe that's going to come in the future here. But yeah, I was a Division I college hockey player thinking I was going to play pro hockey. And when I slowly started to figure out that was not going to be the case, I was at Merrimack College and they have a strong business program and a really good hockey program. And time when I graduated Merrimack, there wasn't a lot of guidance from the guidance department or even from the alumni, but the people that were guiding me at the time suggested that sales would be a good next step being a Division I athlete. So it kind of sold to me that, you know, it was very similar to a season in college sports where you're going to have your good days, bad days. But if you follow the process and, you know, just kind of do the right things, you'll be a successful sales rep over the course of a year. And so got hooked up with this recruiting agency by the name of Carter McKay based out of Braintree, Massachusetts. And they were heavily into the medical device and pharmaceutical sales arena. And so they actually got me in an interview process with Bayer Pharmaceuticals. I ended up getting an offer to be a glucose meter rep. And before I took that position, Carter McKay said, well, it's 100% commission, but you can make more money here as a recruiter, as a headhunter. So I jumped at the opportunity, just being kind of gullible and just, you know, not really knowing anything, but hey, making more money sounded good to me. It was a really good decision. It was a great company, a great agency. I spent 7 years there, mainly placed people in the medical device and pharmaceutical industry, eventually led me to one of my next career moves at Johnson & Johnson as J&J became a big customer of mine at Carter McKay. As I was going through that process, and I don't want to necessarily give my age up here, but at the time, a lot of companies had robust talent acquisition organizations, including J&J, but they were starting to build one. And so I quickly started to see the landscape change where as an agency recruiter, I was no longer working with managers directly, but now working with the talent acquisition person. So built a really good relationship with a few of the talent acquisition people at J&J. One of them who ended up becoming my manager, he said, hey, I don't have a Northeast sales recruiter position yet. I'm out of the Boston area. So that'd be a good idea to want to bring me on for the Northeast. But he said, why don't you go get some contract corporate roles while waiting it out. But as soon as I get an open position, I would love to hire you on. I said, sounds great to me. I saw the landscape changing a little bit. I knew I wanted to get into the talent acquisition game. I ended up taking a contract stint with Monster.com during the heyday of Monster's real fun startup kind of lifestyle. You know, we didn't have a lot of those types of companies in the Boston Mass area at the time, but Monster was certainly one of those. Had a great experience there. It was a really great first step into the corporate and fun step into the corporate world. Mainly was tasked to recruit sales professionals for Monster. Then I actually ended up at a company called The MathWorks, which is another Boston-based software company based out of Natick, Mass, actually. And they have a software called MATLAB. And a lot of engineers will utilize MATLAB to develop products and stuff. And so took a perm position there and was really loving life there and thought I would stay there for a while, not knowing when J&J would come tapping on my shoulder. But about 9 months into that role with MathWorks, Johnson & Johnson tapped me on the shoulder and joined J&J in 2007. Spent 10 of my 18 years at J&J in the commercial sales recruiting area. Spent time as a sales recruiter, as a team lead, eventually as the commercial recruiting manager, TA manager as well. Great experience. Saw thousands of sales reps get placed at J&J, and it was just a fun and great place to work. And then I would say the most challenging and rewarding position so far in my career, I got tapped on the shoulder to join J&J's M&A group. And it was officially titled like the Acquisitions, Divestitures, and Transformations TA team. So in that role, I was considered a TA leader, but really a project manager and would help integrate companies. Like we purchased Oris Robotics, so helped integrate them into J&J, but also conversely helped divest two companies, LifeScan and Advanced Sterilization Products. So the opposite of walking the company out the door into the buying company's hands. And then, worked on some large-scale transformation projects as well. Got project manager certified there, really learned my project management chops as well, which I think set me up well for future positions there in my career later. Then I took a TA manager role that serviced our robotics R&D area of Johnson & Johnson. So had some experience integrating Oris, managed a team of recruiters that really played in that electrical engineer space. And outside of a little bit of experience at the MathWorks and Monster, I really didn't have a lot of tech recruiting experience. So this is really my first kind of jump into tech recruiting as a manager, though. So I did what any, good manager would do, and that's hire a bunch of people from Meta, Twitter, LinkedIn, all people that have had a ton of experience recruiting software engineers and tech people. And I learned so much from those guys, and then was happy and content at J&J. I was in my head, I didn't think I was ever going to leave there. And then ended up getting a call about a head of talent acquisition position with International Paper. I recognize the company. It's a very old brand, old company, similar to J&J, been around since the 1800s, obviously in a different space. But took the interview and glad I did. There was a lot of similarities between J&J and International Paper. They have this do the right thing company culture, with J&J's famous credo. And then IP just, like I said, has a kind of a do the right thing mentality. And the other thing that was familiar to me is everyone I interviewed at International Paper was like, oh yeah, I've been here for 20 years. Oh, I've been here for 30 years. So it felt like home to me from that perspective. I was at J&J for 18 years. A lot of my colleagues are still there at J&J, and I've been there for 15, 20, 25 years. So that felt like home to me as well. Plus I wanted to take on that challenge of leading a talent acquisition organization, getting more heavily involved in the overarching strategy, not just strategy on a particular area or one particular team, but the entire talent acquisition organization. And I stepped into a real transformative time here at NIP. We had a new CEO that came on board about the same time I did as well, who's really implemented the 80-20 principle, really have shaken things up here at IP. We're kind of reimagining the way we do business. We're getting leaner. We're going through all sorts of Kaizen initiatives. And I'm leading the talent acquisition optimization side of things right now. And on top of that, we bought DS Smith, which is EMEA's largest packaging companies as well. And so we've been helping integrate them with us as well. So I kind of really stepped right into the fire here and got immediately into some strategy work. Thankfully, I have a pretty good and robust talent acquisition team of, I think, about 19 people total in my TA organization, with three TA managers, each of them managing a team. So as far as the execution, I feel really good about the day-to-day stuff with their leadership and the talent of my team as well. But it's been fun and exciting and challenging at the same time. You know, it really does.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. No, thanks for sharing that level of detail.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit and share with the audience, if you wouldn't mind, just a little bit more about International Paper. Recognizable brand, as you said, been around a long time. But maybe just share a little bit of size and scope of how large the business is from an employee count, maybe, perspective, how many countries it operates in. And then you mentioned that you've got a team of around 20 people, 19 people. How many total hires also does International Paper make from a scope perspective?
Good question. So I'm sure everyone here is familiar with getting an Amazon package. So if, you know, whenever you get a box, I seem to get one a day at least at my house somehow, but that's the way the world has changed here, particularly accelerated after COVID for sure. But if you turn that brown box around, you'll usually see a stamp that shows where that box was made. And I would say a 1 out of 5 chance you're going to see that International Paper stamp on that. So that's really primarily the area in which we play right now, is that packaging kind of industry. We're not really Dunder Mifflin anymore. We're not really a paper company anymore. We're not selling office paper or anything like that. That was when I first got into, again, not to age myself, but when I first got into the recruiting industry, when I would speak to an International Paper sales rep to try to recruit them into medical device, a lot of those times those folks were selling office paper or other paper products. Now it's primarily packaging. So in that packaging, you get your standard brown box like you get at Amazon, but you also, we have a lot of pre-printed stuff, like imagine like a Budweiser beer case or pizza boxes, or even those displays that you see at the grocery market with all the Keebler cookies in it and stuff like that. We'll make stuff like that as well. It's all pre-printed. And then we do some crazy stuff that I didn't know until I came in here. We have this like large bulk container packaging division that helps ship like thousands of gallons of olive oil across the country in plastic lined, really thick corrugated containers. And that's probably the other thing, is that I made the mistake on day one saying, oh yeah, we make cardboard. And then I got my hand slapped and it's like, nope, it's corrugated. All right. So we make corrugated boxes basically. And the packaging division is the largest of IP. We also still do have a paper division, but the paper mills are basically there to create the corrugated material for us. And we also will sell some of that material to some of the other corrugated packaging companies out there as well. That's primarily the area in which we play. Some of our biggest competitors that you might have heard of would be like Smurf at WestRock, Georgia Pacific, Packaging Corporation of America, to name three. So some other, just to give you context, some other companies in the industry as well. In the U.S. or North America, we have about 30,000+ people that work for us. But now that we purchased DS Smith, which was pretty much EMEA's largest packaging company and a competitor of ours, now we're about close to 60,000, maybe 55,000-60,000 employees, give or take a few. So that pretty much positions us as the largest player in North America and EMEA. We don't really play in the APAC markets, or a little bit in the LATAM markets, but we're really big in North America and EMEA. And so that's where IP sits right now. My team is salaried only. And so the salaried side of things, I would say anywhere between 800 to 1,000 hires a year in North America. We're just integrating DS Smith, so I don't really have those up-to-date numbers for DS Smith. But again, for on the hourly side, which is another kind of team that does those machine operators and stuff like that, we do about 5,000 to 6,000 hires a year. And I'd imagine that DS Smith is probably going to be similar numbers. So if you add the two up, it's probably 2,000 and 10,000 or something like that. But
okay, great. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. So you kind of got into a little bit of the strategy that you've been deploying or going through as you joined IP. Maybe if you wouldn't mind, share a couple, one or two initiatives that maybe as you arrived there that you took a look at or that you and the team have been working on over the last year or so.
The first thing, you know, whenever you join a new company, especially as a leader, I think it's just good to observe and come in and figure out and listen to your customer base and really figure out what's going well, what are the opportunities. And one of the opportunities that arose pretty quickly is that we were a team that was geographically segmented and based, but we were kind of jack of all trades as recruiters. So, you know, any recruiter could be working on a sales rep role or plant manager role or a maintenance manager role. And so I kind of tweaked things slightly and carved out a commercial sales recruiting organization, but not just sales positions, where we worked on everything that was intertwined with the commercial business. So everything from sales reps to national accounts to sales enablement to commission analysts, compensation analysts, you know, all that sort of thing. And that's where we were hearing a lot of, I think, noise from the business. And there was just a lot of priorities to around our sales, commercial sales organization at the time. So that's one of the first low-hanging fruit things that I did, was just create a commercial sales team. Again, part and parcel of my background to having spent 10 years at J&J within a commercial sales recruiting organization. So I really understood that aspect of it. I think one of the biggest things that the agency world taught me in the art of talent acquisition or recruiting is that the more focused you are in a vertical market, the more of an expert that you become as a recruiter. So you're talking to your same customer group all the time. You start developing really good relationships with your whole customer group, but also you're playing in that same candidate sandbox and funnel area there, where you really start to get to know like where all the good talents and purple unicorns are hiding. And so, I could say that for sure. With J&J, I ended up, you know, I would hear people at conventions and stuff. Oh yeah, if you want to get a job at J&J, talk to Chris Ross. He's got all the sales roles in the Northeast, which is good. I loved hearing that stuff, and that's what I wanted to create, a little bit of that. And so that was number one, and then number two, evaluating our process. This is where I'm at right now and going through the process of evaluating our tech stack, but really looking at the process as a whole. You know, some of the things that we're seeing with our group right now is that where we get gummed up in the process a little bit is in the screening process. We still have a very manual process going on right now with our current ATS that does not have any like screening questions implemented right now. So a good example is if 200 people apply to a sales position, my sales recruiter has to look through all 200 people from an OFCCP compliance perspective, and you don't want to miss any purple unicorns. So you want to, whether the person has a last name of A or Z, you want to get through all of them. And so that takes up a lot of time. So we are getting a new ATS with screening questions will be a part of that. So we'll be able to filter obviously down through that. But I'm also looking at AI solutions too that help grade and filter candidates from content on their resume to the content that's in our job description as well. And these are some of the things that I had at J&J as well. So I have good experience with some of these tools. We had Hired Score to evaluate the candidates coming in. And we also had Hire Review to help the first round interview process. And we had Beamery to help develop pipelines. Right now we have our ATS, but we also have GEM that is helping us organize our pipelines and talent communities, but really just kind of evaluating like what's out there to make our lives easier for all the recruiters on our team, and trying to speed up that time that ultimately will lead to quicker time to fills and, you know, all the typical metrics that we always look at.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. And a lot of organizations going through very similar activities, looking at their tech stack, how do they leverage AI and the great solutions in the marketplace to try to create that efficiency that's so critical right now in the market for TA organizations. So that's great work. And if done, a huge opportunity to add value to the business for sure. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, well, I've tried to crowdsource a lot of this stuff too, because, you know, I've been around the block, but I don't know everything. And so I've talked to a lot of TA leaders out there. And I guess the good thing that happens when you all of a sudden put head of talent acquisition on your LinkedIn profile is you start getting contacted by all these quote unquote think tanks and networking groups and stuff like that. So I've had a really easy opportunity to crowdsource. Hey, what are you using? What do you see working well? What's not working well? So that's been a godsend as well. But
yeah. Yeah, I think that could be valuable just to make sure that you double click on that to make sure it aligns with your specific needs. I see a lot of mistakes being made out there where people are just asking for recommendations or what works well for you, but the desired outcomes or specific requirements or the type of experience that you're trying to drive there doesn't align with what they're doing, and then the solution doesn't fit right. So just watching you to do that, but that's a great way to get started.
I've experienced that at J&J. I don't want to call which ones I felt like maybe didn't give us all that we hoped for, but I totally agree with you 100%. So
one question I always like to ask is if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about how you and the team at International Paper measure performance in TA. So either internally within the TA organization, what kind of metrics or measurements do you look at for performance? And then maybe outside of the TA organization with the other executives, what data points matter most around TA at IP?
Yeah, some of this is biased by what I experienced and saw at Johnson & Johnson. So, you know, when I came into IP, we were really just looking at the typical metrics like time to fill, aging recs, and all the typical stuff that you run Tableau reports on just to get a quick headshot, you know, what are our DEI numbers, you know, all that stuff. But one thing, that one critical piece that was missing when I got here was a voice of customer kind of survey thing. And that was like, that was another low hanging fruit thing where I felt like at the end of the day, we service two customers. We service the hiring managers and their needs, and also making sure that the candidates are having a good experience as well. So just implementing that voice of customer net promoter score type of things has gone a long way. Now, we just started implementing this stuff as it took a little bit to build, but I can tell you from my Johnson days, it was a great way to get, as a manager, to get your finger on the pulse of what's going on in a particular functional area or what are some of the issues and stuff like that. And there's always the conversation to be had when you look at the data. It's not always the recruiter's fault. It's not always the hiring manager's fault or what have you, you know, but you can get a good understanding of what's going on through these types of things. But
yeah. That sounds great. So as you look to the future here over the next year or so, when you look at your key initiatives, you talked a little bit about assessing the tech stack. What other types of initiatives are bubbling up as a priority for you and the team other than the tech stack, maybe?
Well, yeah, I mean, being in the manufacturing industry, it's very interesting times right now. It's take politics out of it. There are tariffs going on, and there certain companies are set up, were set up certain ways. And now I'm looking at the trend lines of just a lot of manufacturing coming back to the United States. What that time frame is, I don't think anyone has a crystal ball and says, oh, it's going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now. But I think somewhere between the next 6 to 18 months or maybe 24 months, I think you will start to see, I don't want to say a great resignation type of event, but certainly like a little bit of a boom in the manufacturing sector. And when I look at that from International Paper's perspective, I do foresee that affecting us. We have a good reputation. We have factories all over the United States. And so I do see a need for us to get ready for that event. So that's kind of been on my mind, along with just making sure that we're running as efficiently as possible. And then I'm sure once we start launching all these tools, just continuously running quarterly Kaizen events just to make sure that we are operating as efficient as we hope we will be. So,
yeah, that's great. And yeah, big opportunity for manufacturing. I think that's really exciting.
It's good news, bad news, right? You know, like one of my recruiters was joking about it the other day, and I was like, as long as you're happy with going back to the days of 50, 60 recs again. By now, we were just all joking, but I see it as a good opportunity for a lot of job opportunities here in the U.S. And let's, fingers crossed, let's hope that all happens. So.
Yeah, that's great. Last question for you is, what's some advice that you would share for others in the space? Most of the listeners are either in the TA space already or interested in the TA space. You've been around, had some great experience. What's some advice you would have for our listeners?
I would say the biggest thing first is don't be afraid to stretch yourself. Don't talk yourself out of like another position or a role within talent acquisition, or let's say you want to dive into HR or talent management or something like that. Don't talk yourself out of thinking, I'm not ready yet. I've only been in TA for 5 years. I had a few of those scenarios while at Johnson & Johnson that I did that. And I regretted doing that because I really was ready for it. And at the end of the day, until I became a leader of change, the minute before I became a leader of change, I didn't think I was ready. I didn't think I was ready for it, but I really was. And you just jump in, you're going to make mistakes. And just like you made mistakes the first day you're a recruiter. And so don't be afraid to stretch yourself and go for those roles. Strike while the iron's hot. You know, if you're in a good place and you've just gone through a hot streak where you've really done some good work for a company and you start having all these conversations about other areas, don't push those off. Strike while the iron's hot. That would be the biggest advice I would give anyone at this, having been in this industry now for almost 25 years. So,
Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you for sharing. And sometimes, yeah, other leaders see things in you that you maybe don't see in yourself. And you got to trust that and be in a good environment and give yourself that opportunity to stretch and grow by being a little bit uncomfortable there. So I think that's excellent advice. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I think you did a great job.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. And I love that you have this and kind of highlight the very, very exciting world of talent acquisition. So
absolutely. Great chatting with you. Thank you.
You too.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.